Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
I'm really excited that I get to do the final of our parables. We've been doing the stories of life. Who's enjoyed the parables? It's been amazing, hasn't it? And the great artwork even has been just absolutely gorgeous. And I love it that we've got guests here today. I'm particularly excited about that because coming to hear about the parable of the banquet, it's like you're turning up and you're getting the scoop. Right? I'm going to be talking about what it's all about. This is why the church exists. So if you wanted to get the inside deal about what makes us tick as a church, well, you could have come on no better a day than today, because we're looking at the big picture plan of what God is doing in the world and how he's using his people to do it, which is a really exciting thing to look at. So we're going to pray and then we will get into it this morning. Father, we thank you that you are here with us and that your Holy Spirit is in our midst, and we ask, Spirit of God, that you would take this word and that you would apply it to our hearts, and that not one of us would remain the same after this word has come this morning, that we would leave this place different. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who loves a good read? Anyone enjoy? I'm a prolific reader of good stories. I love it. I love reading amazing stories, true stories of heroism and people making a difference. I brought a book with me this morning which tells an amazing story of the greatest rescue operation that has ever happened. Here's the book right here. Here it is, this book. I've been reading this book since I was 15. So about 3 or 4 years now, I've been reading this book. I'm now 56, so some time. And I love that this book gives us the big story, that it tells us right at the beginning about how God created, and at the pinnacle of his creation, he created a being that would indeed in many ways be like him. He created people to be in his image, because he gave people an extraordinary job to rule on his behalf in his creation. And so he created people to be like him and to be in relationship with him. But you get like right at the beginning, about 3 chapters in, and in this story you see absolute catastrophe, because people are seduced into the rebellion of Satan against God. And immediately you see the effect of this attitude of rebellion, which is called sin. And you see that there is breakdown of relationship. You see that there is guilt. You see that there's condemnation, that there is an unbridgeable gap between people and God. You even very quickly see murder happening. You see by like 3 chapters later in chapter 6 that God says, I'm grieved that I made people, because their hearts are only inclined all of the time towards evil. Right? Not a great start to the story. But then not too many verses after that, not too many chapters after that, you see God raise up a man and a woman, their names Abraham and Sarah. And he says, I'm going to make you into a nation. And your nation is going to be blessed, and your nation is going to be a blessing to all peoples. And you know that through that nation, the people of Israel, we got the written word of God. They wrote the story. And also through that people, we got the living word of God, Jesus Messiah. And so you read as you go through this story about judges and kings and prophets and scriptures, and they point to this one who would come, the one who would make a way for us to know God again. And then finally, in fulfillment of the scriptures, Messiah did come. Without his part of the story, there would be no rest of the story. And he came and he did his bit, which was to come and to live a perfect life and to die for us so that our sins could be taken away and we could come in relationship again with the Father. And then when Jesus had done that and he went to be with the Father in heaven, the next stage of the story opened up. And that's called the era of the church, where people who know him in community with one another, they would be the one who are inviting others into relationship with the Father. And that era has been going now for about 2,000 years. And here we are getting to be a part of the story. How amazing is that? What a story. You know, I'm looking forward to one day. So never read this as like a collection of isolated books. It's one story. And we get to live in the best bit. How amazing is that? One day we'll be able to hang out with Abraham and go, I read about your part in the story. That was amazing. And he'll say, well, tell me about yours. We're a part of the story of people being in relationship with God. Now, why did I talk about that? Because this parable is in a setting where there were people who were given a part to do of this story, but they started to get it wrong. Because God had blessed the people of Israel so there would be a blessing. But something had happened to the religious leaders where they thought, I'm blessed because I'm better than the others. I'm in and they're out and they deserve to be out. It had all gone strange. So this parable fits into this setting where Jesus is at a house, he's been invited to a meal, and the other invitees are the heavy-duty religious dudes. They're Pharisees, they're the experts in the law, and they are all gathered together, not because they're wanting to be hospitable to Jesus, they're looking for things to accuse him of. So they're all sort of there just, hope he slips up. Let's give him hard questions, doing all this sort of stuff. Jesus is just going, okay, bring it on, guys, bring it on. And after there'd been a little bit of interaction, one of the religious leaders there says this statement. And it sounds like a kind of a positive and a nice statement. He says in verse 15, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Well, that's kind of cool because a feast was a metaphor to talk about all of the wonderful things of the kingdom that God had poured out, blessing. He had poured out abundance, that his kingdom was rich with good things, and we've been invited to that feast. But there were assumptions that was made in that particular statement that Jesus felt he needed to deal with, and he dealt with them through this parable. So let's have a look together, Luke 14, verse 16 to 24. And we'll see how he deals with some of the assumptions behind this. Starting verse 16, Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on the way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still more room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. And all of that in response to, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. All right. So what are some of the assumptions behind this religious leader's statement? He's saying, in the kingdom, you're going to be blessed to be there. And his assumption is that I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there because I'm one of the religious leaders. And Jesus very quickly pointed out to him, you know what? I have been inviting this nation for thousands of years. I've invited you through the scriptures that Messiah would come. I invited you through the prophets. And now that I'm here saying the kingdom of God is at hand, you're rejecting me and you are not coming to the banquet that I've prepared for you. And if you don't accept this invitation, then you're not going to come into the kingdom. Right? So that's the first thing he says. The second thing is that when he acknowledges that those who had been invited had rejected, he then says to his servants, go out and invite who? The poor, the lame, the crippled, indeed, all of the people that that religious guy probably thought they are not good enough to come into the banquet. God's not going to let in the riffraff. God's not going to let in those who don't know the Holy Scriptures like we do. God's not going to let in those who are poor, who are the publicans, who are the tax collectors. He's not going to let in those, in fact, all of those that Jesus hung out with all the time. But Jesus makes it clear that in his kingdom, there's an invitation to everyone. Indeed, he goes even further, because when the servant says, we've done that and there's still room, he says, okay, this time, go far. Go far. It's not those who are just near in the nation of Israel. Go to those who did not have salvation. Go to the Gentiles. Go beyond. Go to the Gentiles. Indeed, let this invite go across the face of the earth. I love it that with regard to the invite to the great banquet, that God says in 2 Peter 3:9 that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How good is that? The invite is going out to all. And let me declare to you today that C3 Church, our front door is open to people. People. Because it is God's desire that all would know him. How awesome is that? So, this is what Jesus wanted to get across in this parable. What's our part to play in this? Is it's not that we go, okay, that was nice, so God's inviting those that the religious people would expect not, those who the religious people thought who were outside, and he's telling the religious people that they too have to accept his way to come in to the kingdom. So what about you and I? What's our part to play in this? Well, I've just got two things only that I want to say about that. So if you're taking notes, two things that we're going to talk about, and that is how the parable applies to us. We get to be the servants who go out and issue the invite to come into the banquet. My goodness, what an amazing, amazing, amazing privilege that is. Because the feast is called a feast. It's called a banquet. It's called a sumptuous fest because it represents the generosity of God towards us. It represents the lavishness with which he pours out a spread of salvation and rescue and help for us. And we get the amazing job of going out and telling people that they can enter into a relationship with God and know the Creator, that they can experience forgiveness, not have guilt anymore or sear their conscience, but that they might know what it is to confess their sins and have those sins washed away by what Jesus has done. That they can have the answers to all of life's big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? You know, we people are not wired to do well without answers to those, and we are given them in the sumptuous feast that God has prepared for us in his kingdom. Jesus says he's come that we might have life and have it to the full. It's called abundant life, and we can have that right now on this earth. And then when you go through the veil of death, that we can experience eternal life. Would you agree that this is indeed a banquet where God has poured out generosity beyond measure upon us when we come into the kingdom? There's something there that I've always been a little uneasy about. In verse 23, it says, compel them to come in. I look at it and I go, I get it, this is awesome, we get to be in, and then compel them. It's like, is anyone else like looked at that? And it's, so you want us to make them God. You want us to like argue people into the kingdom of God. You want us to try and force people into the kingdom of God. And of course, when you look at the way God's kingdom has worked through the millennia and since Jesus has come, it's never been the try and force. Indeed, that just doesn't work with people. It's always been the invite. But here's the thing. Our invite can be compelling. Now, I often find myself praying this prayer when I'm going to a setting. It might be I'm going to a party, or I'm going to be meeting with some people, or I'm going to a gathering of some sort, or I'm going to hang out with a bunch of the guys that I surf with. I find myself praying this prayer, and it's just, Lord, let people see Christ in me. Let people see Christ in me. And I love praying that prayer because it just takes a whole lot of the pressure off. And what I found is that when people see Jesus in some way in us, that is very compelling as an invite to his kingdom. Mark Kelsey puts it this way. I really like the wisdom of Mark. He says, you don't have to be incredible. Just be credible. Just be credible. Only Jesus is incredible. So how good that we can just pray, God, let people see Christ in me. And because when they see him and experience him in some way in our life, then that is compelling as an invite into the kingdom. All right, so let's take this a little bit further. So we get to be the part of the parable of the banquet where we get to invite people into his great banquet feast. And we get to do that by letting people see Christ in us. Well, how might we go about that? If you're taking notes, write the word kindness. Kindness. The best way for people to see Jesus in us is when we simply pray, God, help me to see how I might be kind, and we do that. This is what it says in Romans 2, verse 4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Isn't that wonderful? God is kind towards us. He forbears with us, which means he's patient. And it says forbearance and patience. And the reason for that is he wants that to lead us to repentance. Now, repentance is one of these wonderful Bible words, and it just simply means this. We might be going in our own direction. And in this case, it's when we're deciding how we're going to live life our own way. But when we experience the kindness of God, and when we understand the eternal life and the abundant life to which he's called us, repentance means you turn around from doing it our own way and we decide that we're going to start living life his way. And it's his kindness that leads us into doing that. What's the gateway to being able to operate in this and experience it and for it to be a part of our life? Well, I've learned from one of the best. I just got a little thing on my wrist. It's what would Richard Forsyth do? And if you're a guest today, Richard and Kate are amazing pastors of ours, and and they will be leading the healing service actually at 12 o'clock after today. So if anybody here has a need for healing in any part of their world, physical, mental, emotional, whatever, then they will be believing God for that, and have seen so many extraordinary cases of people being healed. But Richard, he works here as a pastor, but he also works at Big W. And it's not like he does his God bit here and then at Big W he does his secular bit. That you don't find that sort of thinking in the book. Right? It's not there. And one of the things Richard does is he just goes, I pray that God will show me who I can be kind to and how I can be kind. And then when he shows me, I do that. Who thinks that's genius? Most things that are awesome are super simple. And so I thought, all right, I think Amanda and I are going to do that. And so one of the things we do is every Tuesday morning, we go up to Prayer Rock. Now, if you have a look on the screen, I'll show you Prayer Rock. So that's the view from our backyard. We don't even have a back fence. And council have very kindly put a bushland reserve there that nobody else goes into. It's just our private prayer place. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And can you see, sort of in the middle, there's a pile of rocks. On the top of that, if you go up there, the next one shows you. So that's what you can see from up there. You can see all the sort of surrounding houses, and there's another one there that shows you. And if you look very carefully with binoculars, there is ocean glimpses from Prayer Rock. And so we just go up there, and you can see next door neighbours here. We're on a battle axe block, so we've actually got front door neighbours, right? So you can see the lady that lives in front, and then over this side's a rental property, and it's got an upstairs and downstairs rented, and so there's a family upstairs, and there's a chap downstairs, and we know all their names, and we just pray for them. Say, God, how might we be kind to these guys? We pray your hand would be upon them. We pray that you reveal yourself to them. And do you know what the crazy thing is when you pray like that? You get God ideas. And it's not like it's onerous and it's difficult. In fact, you start to get rather excited because you start thinking, what's God doing? How's he going to use this? How will people respond when they see Christ in us just through being kind in some way? And we've just loved it. One of the things that we've done is there's been quite a few people come through the upstairs rental bit on the right as you're looking towards our house from Prayer Rock. And a little while ago, it was about a year ago, we had one family come in there, and just a great family, five kids, fantastic. We were really excited when they moved in. They, upon moving in, immediately had a dispute with the landlord that wasn't very nice. And one of their next door neighbors come in and rebuked them because their kids were being noisy in the middle of the day. And then Amanda and I came in, and we had a little box of stuff. Amanda had gone out, she bought a bottle of wine, some red frogs for the kids, just a whole bunch of goodies. And you could see, we knocked on the door and the first thing was like, oh no, what are you guys here for? And then we just said, hi, I'm Pat, this is Amanda, we're next door neighbours, we live there, and we just wanted to say welcome to our neighbourhood, and here's a few little things for you. And she started to cry because she thought we were going to rebuke her. And we just had this wonderful, wonderful relationship. They ended up moving to another place and some more people moved in there, and they had one of those, you know, those moving days that go for about 20 hours. Right. They had one of them. We just saw them going, and it was just full on. And we thought the last thing those guys want to do is cook. So this time it wasn't just a little hamper, it was, you know, the wine and the meal, and it was all cooked and it was all ready to go. And this afternoon that family are coming over for afternoon drinks. That's why Amanda's not here. I had to send her to go and get a slab of tinnies. she's uh, She's gone to get those. Be fantastic. So what these are, I hope I'm pressing the pressure relief valve. It's just be kind and enjoy the journey and get excited by what God is doing. It can be just things like listening to people. I mean, people have got stories, but often we just all find that we want to get our story out and nobody's listening to anyone. Phil Kaladukas over here blew me away. He probably doesn't even know he did this. So we had a meeting of Men's Connect leaders. I'd just come back from a holiday in New Zealand, and he said, "Oh, can you show me the photos?" Nobody does that. Like, nobody does that. If somebody starts pulling out photos, I'm going, "Oh, golly, you know, I hope you don't detain me too." And then so I just very carefully ventured out into the invite, and I said, "We stayed there, and there's some nice surf, and it was a good time." And he goes, "Can I see some more?" Now, do you know what that just said? I'm interested in you. I love that. And so we can do that. You just ask people about what's happening. And you know, just a couple of days ago, the next door upstairs guy, their dad's living with them. Dad's retired, and he was wandering out in the front yard, and I'm out there pulling some weeds, and I went over and we said good day, and I said, "Oh, what did you do before you retired?" And he was telling me, and you just go, "That's awesome. Wow. That must have been amazing." And there's just something about showing interest in people which lets people experience Jesus, and that is compelling. This week, I surf with a bunch of guys a couple of times a week. And anyone who surfs around here knows that some people can take it way too seriously. It's like, the point is fun, guys. And they're out there and getting upset, they miss their wave and all this sort of stuff. So we just go out and we laugh and we joke, and if somebody does something stupid on a wave, we remind them about it about 1,000 times, and you know, it's a whole lot of fun. And over the months, we've got to know this guy out there. He's just paddled, sat next to us, and we've chatted. 2 days ago, he got out of the water at the same time. He's in the car park and he said, "Oh, can I join you guys for coffee?" And of course we said, "No way. That ain't going to happen." So we just thought, how good's this? "Yes, come and join us for coffee." One of the boys got to the front of the line, bought all the coffees, bought all the breakfasts, and shouted him. It's just a little bit of the unexpected. It's just, so why did he do that? Just a bit of a God idea. So someone here today might have felt this in the past. You've got an overactive conscience, and that overactive conscience is going, "You should, you need to talk to that person, do this." Let me just tell you right now, that's not God, right? I don't speak to everybody that I sit next to in a plane about the gospel, but there's times where I just feel the Holy Spirit go, "Mm-hmm." Because I've prayed, that happens a bit. And we just talk, and I get interested, and it's amazing how Christ in me opens up questions. And did I lead everybody to Jesus? No. I actually got to lead one person to Christ in the plane, but that's because a whole lot of nuns had been kind to him where he was living in Africa. I just got to be a bit further along in that story. But all you got to do is maybe take people for a journey from -9 to -8, and then someone else can take them a bit further towards Christ. And you just enjoy it. And when you pray and you're intentionally kind to people, you just get excited because you're thinking all the time, what's God up to? What's he doing? It's like you've got a ringside seat of what God is doing in people's lives. If you've ever thought as a believer, just going to church, Is that all there is to it? I'm showing you today how you can never have that feeling again. It's just pray. It's be kind. Did you know that I recently saw a survey? In fact, it was last week. Tony Moylan and Amanda and I went to the National Church Life Survey. Right? They've been surveying Australians and churches for years. High quality data, really good conclusions. And they asked a lot of Aussies, if somebody you know or is close in your family asked you to come to church, what would you say? And did you know that 40% of Aussies said right up front, yes. And another like 18% said, I'm unsure. But do you know how 18% of unsure go to yes? Because they see Christ, because someone's being kind to them. So that means that there's a whole bunch of people that are just waiting for an invite. So as well as being kind, I just want to say to you, go the invite. Christmas spectacular, go the invite, because there's someone waiting. And what if someone says no? Just keep praying, it's all good. And you know something? You don't even have to wait for a Christmas spectacular, because these services are all planned and prepared for, so that people that don't go to church will feel like they're welcome. That this was not just for the crew that are already here, but this is for them. Did you notice how I explained repentance before? I'm not talking to the in crowd. I'm talking to people. And this is something we're intentionally... So I want to say, invite people to church. Because about 90% of people who do meet Jesus do so in a church service.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow, so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.